Good afternoon, everyone. We'll start off with a public hearing on House Bill 2235. And we've got the state treasurer here. Before we get to him, we'll go through a preliminary briefing. Kyle?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2235 is a bill making a change that would allow a refund of a personal income tax to be made by direct deposit into an account designated by the taxpayer. So this is the personal income tax refund. And the change being made in statute is pretty small. Is right now the language says the personal income tax refund can be made by direct deposit into an account designated by the taxpayer at a bank or another financial institution. So the bank or other financial institution language is being removed from statute to just allow the taxpayer to designate an account. The one caveat there is any account to which a personal income tax refund would go to would have to be able to accept the ACH deposit for DOR to actually transfer those funds.
Yeah. What's the problem now? Why do we need to do this?
So right now, statute just more or less would require that to go to a bank or financial institution. So you're talking about like a checking or a savings account. So that limits it slightly to the type of accounts that can receive the deposit. And I believe the state treasurer has testimony about another account that it could go to by making this change.
Okay. Tobias Reed. 2235.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I'm Tobias Reed. I have the honor of serving as state treasurer. And today I feel a little presumptuous coming in front of the sponsors of this legislation, but I appreciate the summary that that Kyle gave you. It may be a small change, but I think it has a very large potential. You've heard plenty from me about what we do in the state treasury and our commitment to creating a culture of savings with our financial empowerment programs that include the College Savings Plan, the ABLE Savings Plan for people who are saving for the cost of disabilities, and Oregon Saves, our first in the nation opt-out retirement savings plan. This is where this bill, I think, has large potential. Several years ago, when I was a member of the legislature, we enacted a bill that allows taxpayers to directly deposit any refund they might receive into a college savings plan. And I want to commend Representative Marsh and Representative Smith for attempting to extend that potential with Oregon Saves or other retirement savings plans. So that's in effect, the essence of the bill, and I probably don't need to repeat what you already know about the large and growing retirement savings gap in Oregon and in the country. So I think very simply, anything we can do to make it easier for people to direct dollars that they might be able to save to those purposes, that's a good thing. And that's why I'm here, Mr. Chair.
So they would go into these retirement accounts?
It could, absolutely, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Senator Taylor. You want to ask that question you were asking me about?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Exciting afternoon in the Senate Finance Committee.
You remember these days, these bills?
Yeah.
Well, this is one of those bills where we kind of run out of things to talk about after a while.
I'll get out of your way. You can vote it out, Mr. Chair.
Well, thank you, Chair Haas. I do want to acknowledge that there's something really unique on a personal note about Treasurer Reed. His wife went to the school that my son is going to in the fall. So I thought we could talk about that if you really wanted to.
Mr. Chair, we really are hard up, huh?
Representative Marsh, can you join us here? Because we've run out of things to talk about. We're kind of filling time until you arrived.
Mr. Chair, Senator Taylor, while Representative Marsh is getting settled, I want to make sure I understood. Did you say that the college that your son is going to go to?
Is Grinnell.
It's done. He's
it's
decided.
Done. He's going to your wife's alma mater.
Congratulations. I have something exciting to tell my wife tonight.
See, we are doing good here, Senator Haas.
Welcome, Representative Mark.
Thank you. Okay, so Senator Haas, members of the committee, thank you so much for letting me be here, run in the door. For the record, I'm Pam Marsh. I'm the House Representative from District 5, which is Southern Jackson County. So House Bill 2235, which you've already heard a little bit about, was actually an idea that germinated during an interim session of the House Revenue Committee when Representative Smith mentioned tax refunds and questioned whether or not they could be directly deposited in a retirement account. And as I listened to him talk, and his focus was really on private retirement accounts, I thought, Oregon Saves. I sit on the board of Oregon Saves. And it just seemed like another great opportunity to be able to encourage people to save for their future, which is something that we all know is so important, both to individuals and to the state. So we did a little bit of investigation in the off season to figure out what it would take to do that. And it turned out it was just eliminating 7 words from the code that will never be missed in order to allow deposits to go directly to a retirement account, keeping in mind that not all retirement accounts are structured in a way that they will accept a direct deposit of that kind, but for those that will, including Oregon Saves, this seems like a simple and a good step to take to, again, reinforce the emphasis that we have on the importance of savings.
Senator Riley.
So, and I assume that that means that Oregon Saves is not a financial institution.
Mr. Chair, Senator Taylor, Oregon Saves is a program that uses financial institutions. We have contracts with two different entities, one that serves as a record keeper and one that serves as an investment manager. But we're, the author is to my right. So I think this, I'm assured this will work.
Okay. Well, thank you both.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Close public hearing on House Bill 2235. And I will open a work session on House Bill 2235. Senator Taylor, would you make a motion?
Senator Taylor, I move that we pass House Bill 2235 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Taylor moves that House Bill 2235 goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
No.
Any objections?
No.
Seeing none, I will carry the bill. Measure passes. Measure passes.
Yeah. Sorry.
And I'll carry the bill. And we're still down a couple of colleagues here, so why don't we go to 2504, and I'll open a public hearing on House Bill 2504. Is that Jamie?
Yes, sir.
Hi there. Should get a quick briefing here, summary of the bill, please.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2504 regards the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission, which reviews and certifies budgets, ensures Multnomah County's government's compliance with local budget law, and provides additional member services. The bill increases the maximum allowable budget recovery for the Tax Supervising and Conservation Commission, the TSCC, to $410,000, which is collected from members, and increases the annual rate of increase from 3% to 4%, and also expands the types of revenues that they may receive, including grants.
Could you give some background and explain the necessity here?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So the TSCC originated back when the property tax system was levy-driven. And interestingly, even though the TSCC collects its fees currently from its members, and half of that consists of Multnomah County, so we don't have a levy system anymore. We have a rate system, but they certify budgets and provide some guidance and accuracy for budgets and funding. And so the sort of oddity is that even though there's not an appropriation from the general fund for the TSCC, the way that the increases in their membership collection limit sits in statute, and so it sits at and a rate of increase from at 3% currently.
Right. So governed by the state, working for the county. So it's an unusual animal. Craig and Taylor, go ahead.
Chair House, members of the committee, my name is Taylor Steenblock. I'm here from Multnomah County Government Relations. I just want to hand it off really quickly to my colleague, Craig Gibbons, who actually works for the TSCC. He'll give you a little bit of information about the TSCC in addition to what we've already received, and then I'll talk a little bit more about the bill itself and the reason for, or the necessity for the bill. So with that, Craig, take it away.
Thank you. Yes, you have it in a nutshell. TSCC serves citizens, school districts, and local governments in Multnomah County in the areas of local budget law and property taxes. Commission staff are experts in these areas and do much the same things today that the original TSCC did after the legislature created it in 1919 during Oregon's good government period. We're 100 years old. We monitor and report on local government and school district budgets and taxes. We monitor and certify that local governments and school districts adhere to local budget law. We hold public hearings on local government and school district budgets and tax measures. And we answer citizens' questions about budgets and property taxes. TSCC is a public agency created and controlled by the legislature. Its five-member governing board is appointed by the governor. Its budget is limited by state statutes, and it is a membership organization, and 30 of the 42 taxing districts in Multnomah County are members. It is funded by a formulaic assessment from those member jurisdictions, and all member districts support this legislation. What are we requesting? TSCC's budget limitations were last reset by the legislature in 2009. In each succeeding year, TSCC budgeted only what was needed and spent less than the maximum budget. Personal services costs for the 2.0 FTE staff now exceed 92% of the budget. Wages and benefits, including PERS, have increased annually at a rate frequently greater than 3%, a circumstance common to our member jurisdictions and most public agencies statewide. This means that the statutory maximum will be reached within the next biennium, and we are requesting then that we reset a maximum budget from $365,000 to $410,000 and add a 1% increase to our inflation factor to 4%. We are also requesting the authority to generate revenue and to support increased services to the public and to non-member jurisdictions. As we stated above, TSCC is completely funded by member jurisdictions. All 30 of those member jurisdictions have signed a petition supporting this legislative proposal, and our members value our services.
Thank you, Senator Taylor.
Chair House, members of the committee, my name is Taylor Seenblock, Government Relations, again for the record. So in front of you, I believe you have a letter from two other member jurisdictions aside from Multnomah County. You also have a one-pager, and then you've got a list of all of the member jurisdictions that kind of are under the TSCC umbrella. So if you're curious to know whom else is represented by the TSCC, you can feel free to explore that. I'm here today to just kind of explain a little bit more about House Bill 2504. It has four components. The first component, as Craig already mentioned, is an increase in their budget to $410,000. The second is an increase in their cap to 4%. And then the third component, which Craig kind of mentioned, is that the TSCC would like to be able to apply for grants. And we believe this is a really good way to have a little bit more of a sustainable budget in the future, and also a way for them to supplement what they have currently. And so with those grants, they might be able to do things like remove barriers for citizens who are trying to access budgeting information and have additional transparency, also updating their technology and other ways that people might access this information, all of which costs a lot of additional money and might be grant funded, but this is not something they're looking to necessarily do with their budget increase that is in front of you today. The last piece of this is that they would like to be able to charge for services. So the TSCC has experts in budget law and taxation. And while they do provide courses for their member jurisdictions, they actually provide expertise to people across the state. And currently, they're not able to charge for any of those hours that they spend, even though the people benefiting are not members and don't pay the dues that the rest of us do. So that's basically the four components of the bill. I'll keep it short. If you have any other questions, we are happy to answer them. Thank you.
Do any other counties have a similar mechanism?
No, sir.
They could, but they don't currently.
I know that the Tax Supervising Conservation Commission does a tremendous service for Multnomah County, even sometimes when it involves getting crosswise with some of the budget officials and commissioners, and mm-hmm. I think that's a really sort of necessary non-adversarial tension to have in a local government. So, and this doesn't increase budgets or rates, it just allows the counties to do so. Is that my understanding? Allows the counties, this caps, it doesn't mean that they necessarily have to get to that.
Exactly. We always spend less than our maximum budget. Our budget has an kind of an automatic control on it. Since we look over our members' budgets and sharply criticize them when needed, if we were to spend more money than necessary, everything would fall apart at once. So there's a natural governor on our budget. This just makes sure that the money will be there in the future as costs rise.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chair Haas. I am familiar with some of the work that the TSCC does, having in my previous life working as a management auditor, and I can tell you that the materials that they produce are well-researched, they are footnoted, and we know the supporting evidence that they give when they write their papers explaining in detail the impact of Measure 5 and various things. I mean, it's very, very useful, and it's one of those things where you don't know you needed the information or the service it was providing, and then once you see the work that they're doing, it serves a great benefit. And all these entities that are that they're reviewing these budgets, I think it's a good level of oversight to have. The only question I wanted to understand was, you're proposing non-members. Can you go into that? You were going to be charging non-members. Who are the non-members?
Let me give you an example.
Okay.
And this is perspective and speculatively.
Okay.
The League of Oregon Cities just did a series of budget trainings around the state,
right,
using their own staff. One of the ideas is that since we are budget experts, the League could hire us to go around and do that training. So that's delivering training to outside of Multnomah County.
Mm-hmm.
This bill would allow us to be paid by the League for providing that service. Does okay. that make sense?
Okay.
Thank you. Rep. Smith Warner, you just watching your baby here? Okay. All right. Thanks to both of you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for your time today.
Patty, unless somebody has some issues, I'm ready to move this.
Okay. Yes, I'll go ahead and Senator Haas,
House Bill 2504.
Yes, Senator Haas, I move that we pass House Bill 2504 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Taylor moves House Bill 2504 go to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on this? Any objections?
2504, we're in the middle of that.
Seeing none, House Bill 2504 goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Taylor.
I would be honored.
Okay, Taylor will carry. Close that work session. Thank you, Jamie. And finally today, before Chris has to go down to Ways and Means and argue for the Legislative Revenue Office budget, we'll keep him here to help us with a work session on Senate Bill 193. This is the broadcaster's bill. Can you sort of give us a quick 30,000-foot level where we are, where we were, and where this -1-5 amendment puts us?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The -5 amendment replaces the bill and extends the current apportionment method of domicile for 1 year and requires the Legislative Revenue Office, in conjunction with the Department of Revenue, to study the issue of apportionment policy for the broadcasters. Generally, where we've been, there are a number of court cases dating to tax years prior to 2014, when the method of apportionment was the audience method. Since 2014, we have been at a domicile approach that had been extended, that has been temporary first year. First, it was put in place for 3 years, and then was extended through 2018. And there are a number of court cases going back and forth between the executive branch and the industry about how to interpret law. So where we've been with the revenue impact is an indeterminate, where this policy could be a revenue gain or a revenue loss, depending on what's at stake. A lot of the tax years that are in dispute, boiling those down to an average, there's about a $4 million discrepancy or amount that's in debate between the Department of Revenue and the taxpayers. And for tax years 2006 through 13, that amounts to about $70 million. And so the legislature has been waiting for decisions through the court system. The Department of Revenue seems to be winning those, but there's still some uncertainty about some of the issues. So the idea here is to extend it for 1 year, and then later this year have LRO and DOR, and hopefully with the help of the private sector, some input as to what the best apportionment method would be, and then we would provide that information to an interim committee in preparation for the 2020 legislative session.
All right. Thank you, sir. I know that this has been something that this committee has struggled with, this legislature has struggled with, over the most fair way to administer a very complicated industry that crosses borders and lands in our homes, and is just very difficult, and other states are struggling with this as well. And I think this at least now will force us to call the question next year. Maybe some of this litigation will help point us in the right way. Plus, we'll have preparation if we do change ORs here and go back. We'll maybe have some new definitions. So I think one more year feels like a fair way to punt. Senator Benz.
Mr. Chair, I apologize to be late. I had to testify on Senate Bill 2. But in regard to this bill, I think the approach is warranted, and I agree with it.
Okay, then. We are in a work session with Dash 5s.
Mr. Chair, I move the Dash 5 amendment to Senate Bill 193.
Senator Benz moves the Dash 5s to Senate Bill 193. Discussion? Objection? Seeing none.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 193 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator Benz moves Senate 193 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 193 goes to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation, and I will be the carrier. Okay, committee. Thank you for your quick work today. We will adjourn.